someone's on their cultural journey, I'm terrified by the idea that, you know, that when I finally do find, you know, my country, that it's, you know, no longer feels the same.
Every place, and like all the coral reef and stuff, and like certain hills and certain rocks have such massive significance for us. It's where our history happened.
We are joined with Cameron and Leah, and we're also joined by Nicole, who's just waving in the background. And they are from SEED. Now, SEED is Australia's first Indigenous Youth Climate Network. Say hi, guys.
Okay, so hi, I'm Leah, the SEED State Coordinator for Queensland, Southeast Queensland. And I'm joined with me, Cameron has joined with me, who is a core volunteer for SEED. And we also have Nicole, who's a SEED staff member.
Cool.
So,
yeah. Just a quick shout out to 4305, to the way Ipswich mob. So, yeah.
Everyone's listening in. Yeah. Everyone's listening in. That's awesome. That's how you know we're awesome, Matt. We got people listening in. So, tell us all about SEED.
So, obviously, we're Australia's first Indigenous Youth Climate Action Network. So, we are building a national movement of young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people for climate justice. So, as a network of people and communities, we are established across the country and have state coordinators and state volunteers in each state.
I think it's, like, no secret that climate change is one of the greatest threats facing humanity. But we also know it is an opportunity to create a more just and sustainable world. While we centre in our campaigns on environmental issues arising from Australia's dependence on fossil fuels, our focus is viewing this in light of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander sovereignty, which is often at odds and in danger with every new coal developmental proposal. Yeah. Sorry, coal mine development.
I think a lot of people, in particular non-Indigenous people, don't understand. It's just the way we teach our culture and the way we teach our history is by place, not by timeline. I hear stories of the past and stories of my ancestors, like in the Torres Strait with the coral bleaching that's going on due to climate change. If the reef goes, basically everything, a lot of the things that my culture holds dear, the sea, the reef, is going to be basically dissipated and was going to be lost, which is why this fight is so important for us and young Indigenous people, and this is why SEED is so important to me and so important in this fight, to have our voices heard.
Because it's always the victim, like our sovereignty and our sense of identity is always the victim with every new mine, you know, coal mine.
So what are some things that SEED are working on at the moment? What are your
SEED is currently working on a broad campaign to protect country, in which we want to protect country from, obviously, fossil fuel extractions. So under this, we're working on stopping two major projects. So the first is preventing fracking in the NT. I think like a ridiculous amount of the NT is under a license for them to, for fracking or exploration. I think it's like, 90%
of the state.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's crazy. So many of the traditional owners are being wrongly consulted about the effects of fracking and what effects it has on like underground water, and some have been told there won't be any bad effects. So wherever we can support the traditional owners in their fights to stop fossil fuel extraction on their land. So we've also been helping, obviously, the Wangan and Jagalingu people, helping to fight against the Yidandi coal mine from being built on their land. Of course, we can't speak on behalf of all the traditional owners, but, you know, we're obviously there to give them a hand with their campaigning or whatever else that they need from us and assistance. And more recently, we've been working on the sudden fight for this, obviously, Native Title Act that's been rushed through Parliament at the moment.
Yeah, so that's gone through the lower house already. And it's going to go before the Senate at the end of March.
Yeah.
Labor's said they don't really think that enough time was given for amendments to be looked over and everything. Labor MP Linda Burney said the rushed handling of the bill was disrespectful.
Yeah. She called it a mess of the government's own making, completely disrespectful to Indigenous people, completely disrespectful to the intent and spirit of Native Title. So she wasn't happy. She even accused of George Brandis of basically gagging her in the Senate. So,
which is quite interesting. Like when George Brandis came in like 2013, he was basically made himself to be like the Minister for Native Title, but he wasn't interested until suddenly with the McGlade, I think, decision in Western Australia.
Mm.
Now, all of a sudden, he's interested in Native Title, which is very, very
convenient. So what was the what was the significance of last Friday? What, you had a bit of a campaign leading up to?
That was the day that submission reviews were ending, right?
Because it's all about, like, obviously the case in Western Australia. So basically the federal judge nullified a $1.3 billion native title deal known as the McGlade decision. So that basically threw into a doubt several future proposed native title deals, and like
there's been some criticisms of the bill as well, saying that, you know, it was like a, in response to this like manufactured emergency, that it didn't need to be this fast, it didn't need to be this
so it threw into doubt like pastoral care, pastoral land deals, and like future mining deals, obviously the big one being Dandi. So that's why there was like this sort of sudden urgency came out of nowhere. George Brown just was like, we have to get this through, which was supported by, surprisingly, some of the Labour people, especially particularly in Queensland as well, which was pretty...
Yeah, which I think is quite curious, given that, you know, federally Labour is saying that, you know, no new coal mines, and they've basically have to deal with that dilemma of having, you know, the Queensland Premier you know, being complicit in, you know, the Adani Carmichael mine.
In what is like Australia's biggest ever like coal mine.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere actually.
It definitely is, and like
It's gonna push us over like 2 degrees.
Mm.
Basically putting like a nail in the coffin of all like Pacific nations and even Torres Strait as well, which is where my family is from.
I remember I was speaking to Marawa Johnson from the Wangan and Traditional Family Council, and what she brought up a point to me that really rocked me was that when they present this idea of, oh, it's going to bring jobs to the community, and it's like she was saying that the identity crisis of then saying, well, I need to work and taking a job, but at the expense of destroying their country, can be really significantly damaging to the mental health of Indigenous people.
It is.
Which was something that completely rocked me.
I just think it's disgusting when governments do that, because these are desperate people, you know, with limited resources. And it throws you know, not only individuals, but also families in this, you know, ethical dilemma. And also basically, original people are just being exploited to validate a dying industry. You know, we look at global trends, you know, what Energy Australia recently came out and said that, you know, trying to encourage our governments to sort of take wind of, you know, renewable energy. So what's happening?
Yeah, and it begs this question, it's like, how does a poor person or someone living in poverty say no to that much amount of money? So this is where the concept of just transition comes in. So creating renewable jobs, creating like pathways for poor people like in remote communities to get these like renewable jobs, which is like the biggest question within this like huge environmental movement. Not just for like Indigenous communities, but like remote communities in general.